It is a privilege to be with you this morning and to speak with you in Sunday school. And this morning I want to speak on the subject, Something Was Missing. Something was missing. Now, actually, that's the title of the last book that I've written. But there's an important message here that I think might help you if you reach out and try to reach others for Christ. Now, something was missing, as my book indicates. I grew up in a Catholic home. And in my book, I actually thank the Lord for that. Now, that would turn some people off. But I make the point that if somebody really grows up a Catholic and are taught as a Catholic, they have a lot better foundation than a whole lot of people that grow up in modernist churches. As a Catholic, I was taught that Jesus Christ was God, and that he was born of a virgin. And I learned as a little boy that Christ died for the sins of the world. And I learned about resurrection from the dead. And tragically, today in America, there are a lot of people who grow up in traditional, old-time Protestant churches, churches that once believed the Bible. And we're talking about Methodists and Presbyterians and well, all the different churches that at one point or another claimed to be Christian and held to the basic fundamentals. But today, you try to witness to a lot of people that may be active in one church or another, you'll find that an awful lot of them don't know the fundamentals of the faith. And if you're going to reach them for Christ, you've got to start over and rebuild a whole lot of information. Because in most Americans today, something is missing. Now, I grew up and I was active in a church and I was taught. And I learned all the basic fundamentals. Jesus is God, that he was born of a virgin, that he died for the sins of man, that he arose from the dead. And there's a lot of people that believe that and have been taught that in various churches who believe, therefore, they're Christian. But the something that was missing was I was never challenged to realize that I needed to apply by faith the things that I had been taught were true and would have said, yes, I believe all that, to my need for a personal Savior. Now, as you go out to witness to neighbors, to friends, to relatives, many you'd be able to talk to would agree they're sinners. I've only ever known one woman, a friend of mine that I saw come to Christ, and he was in a meeting, and his mother and father were there, and it was mentioned that we're all sinners. And she shook her head and said, no, not me. Now her father, her husband was standing beside her, and he didn't do it openly. He'd have been afraid to, I think. But he disagreed. But you know, the big problem we have, and it's a problem that I spent a lot of years, that even though I knew I was a sinner, I didn't really know that I was lost and destined for hell. Now, growing up as a Catholic, for example, I could know, yes, I was a sinner, and I'd been taught there is heaven and hell and all those things. But see, there is an out there. Too many people, Catholics and others, don't really recognize that there comes a time, and you either go to heaven, you hope you'll get there, or some people might go to hell. But most of the people that you'll talk to do not really know and recognize and accept the fact that without Christ, they're lost. As a Catholic, of course, there's always that thing of purgatory that you're taught about that gives an out. And the hope of all is that even though I might die and might have to suffer certain suffering to pay for my sin, ultimately I'll get to heaven. And you can't really reach somebody with the gospel until they first recognize they're lost. The Lord Jesus said what? I come to seek and save what? Those that are lost. And once a person comes to know they're lost, they're truly ready to hear the gospel and hear the good news that Christ died for the sins of the world. We need to do a better job, I'm convinced, of getting people standing on the basics. But secondly, one of the basics is to know that even though you may go to church, you may have been baptized, you may a whole lot of things, you're lost. You may be a church member. In fact, I talk to a lot of preachers. Now, they usually won't talk about what's going on in their own church. But they do acknowledge and are concerned with the fact that we have in our churches, even our good churches today, a lot of lost people. Now, a 5-year-old can get saved. But I've seen too often in the years, the over 50 years that I was in Christian education, the hardest way to reach many of those young people is to try and deal with them about their need of Christ. And they can tell you, well, when I was 4 or 5 or 6 or however age, my mom led me to Christ. Taught them the essentials. They agree. They're good little kids. But whenever we lead a young person or any person to Christ, we have to cover the essentials and bring them to see that they need more than an agreement. And I'm afraid that the reason why you'd find many, many people across America today, and they may be in good churches, but they need to get saved. I think of one young man now who, he was in sophomore or junior year in high school, in a Christian school. His father was a preacher and a good man. But some of his friends became concerned over whether or not this young man was really saved. And they prayed for him and witnessed to him. And when he was about 15, he got saved. You know, the biggest hindrance was his parents said he didn't need to get saved. He's been saved for so many years. Well, fortunately, he did get saved and has gone on, and I won't go into all the details, but this is many years ago. That young man is now working at a Christian college. He retired from the state police and the community that in the state in which he worked, and went on and had a good testimony. But his parents never really got so excited because their son had made another decision which he didn't really need. And I think we all need to learn this. As my book indicates, over a third of all Americans today leave the churches in which they grew up for one reason or another. They come to see that something was missing. In fact, a leading Catholic publication says that if all of the Catholics who've left the Catholic Church were to become part of their own denomination, it would be the largest single denomination in America today. Now, if you meet that person at work or knock on the door, too often if you try to talk to them about being saved, they'll say, well, I'm a Catholic. And too often with most of us, that just kind of ends the conversation. We can't go too much further. And the same may be true if they say I'm a Methodist or a Presbyterian or Episcopalian or whatever. But there's multitudes of people out there. Multitudes of people out there who may be members of churches. and good, decent people. But they need Christ. We, through prayer and witnessing and all the rest, we may see one of these people reach for Christ. But the Lord doesn't tell us really to win souls. He says what? Make disciples. That's when it really starts. When we start to disciple them and build within them the faith that can really be effective for the Lord, and then go on and teach them what a disciple really does or should do. We all have a big job to do. Now, I was 37 years old. Had an opportunity to speak in a few pretty good churches before I actually got saved. In fact, I even learned the gospel and learned that if you knew certain things to say, and I believed them and I hoped that they were enough, but if you could learn to say the right things, people would say, amen. Amen. But my problem was I never saw myself lost. And there came a time many years ago, I won't tell you exactly how many it was. I was getting ready to go to California to give a series of speeches, and I had to do a lot of plane traveling from St. Louis to Springfield, Missouri, to Kansas City, to California. And then in the middle of the week from California, I had to fly back to Rockford, Illinois to speak at a DAR meeting. I had a real goofed up schedule that week. And my wife got concerned about all the airplanes I was flying on. And she mentioned that, and I said, oh, don't worry about that, I fly all the time. But in the middle of the night, I sat there, and I came to know that if that plane would go down, I was in bad trouble. And I got saved that night. I was different when I went to California for all those speeches. I started to preach right away and tell people that they needed to know Christ. I'm sure you're all challenged with your need to reach other people. And many of you do, and thank the Lord for that. But, you first of all got to know that you truly know the way. And I'd suggest to you that if you truly know the way, you can't help but start telling people about it. There's just something in you that knows that others need to come to Christ that are lost without Jesus Christ. Now, with that as a foundation. Once I did get saved, we were by that time we'd left the I had left the Catholic Church, and my wife was a Methodist. She helped to found the Methodist Church in Florissant, Missouri. And the lady started to study a little book called Basic Christian Beliefs by Frederick C. Grant. He was one of the translators of the Revised Standard Version. There was maybe one other lady in that church that knew the Lord. And they started to raise some questions. Now, my wife she went to Syracuse University and took one class, Basic Christian Beliefs or something, I don't know what it was. And she and this other lady started to ask questions. Somebody told her, believing the way she did, she shouldn't be in the Methodist Church. Although she wasn't saved, but she had a little bit of knowledge. And they finally brought the preacher in to get these two ladies straightened out. And he was a good friend of mine. That age, about the same age as I was. And he stood up in the pulpit at this ladies' meeting and said, "Let's face it, ladies, if Jesus had known he was God, he'd have crawled up on the cross and said, 'Bye-bye, boys, I'll see you in 3 days.'" And my wife said, "Well, Pastor, he did say that." And the preacher said, "He did?" And at that point, we decided that we needed to look for someplace else. I was in politics at that time and had a friend who did all the things he was supposed to do politically. And he seemed a little different. He was a Christian. So we ended up at the church that he attended. And I sat there for 3 years and heard the Bible taught and preached before I got saved. Just before the 1964 election, the pastor one Sunday morning preached on all the fulfilled prophecies of the coming of Christ. And I said, "You know, that's the most amazing thing I've ever heard." That brought me. Now, I would have always agreed that the Bible was the Word of God. But that day I came to know it in my heart, and I decided, as soon as this election is over and all the responsibilities I have, I need to start reading the Bible. Every day. It took 3 months, but I ended up getting saved. Of course, I had to chase my wife around for a month. And insulted her because I told her that she had to know she was a sinner. I don't know how many of you experienced this, but if you're saved and the person closest to you is not, that makes for a miserable life. You're different, and the one you love is not. Now, once I came to know that I was a Christian, that the Bible was the Word of God, I suddenly decided I need to find out what church I go to. In the second half of my book, I spent some time really studying what the Catholic Church taught and believed, and what the Bible said. That brought me to see that a definite change had to be made. Catholics teach that Jesus started their church. But has that church changed since then? Yeah, there's a lot of details here. And the question comes, should church traditions... Now this only applies to the Catholics, but it applies to all other churches. Should church traditions conflict with the Bible? And that's the question that everybody out there need to find out about. Have church traditions changed the reason for people getting baptized? Yeah. What about who you pray to? And then this book details in a nice way, as Pastor indicated, I'm a gentle person. I hardly ever say to someone, how could you be so stupid? But we need to know what the Bible teaches so we can raise a question. When was this changed, or how did this change? Asking questions to get people thinking. If we simply tell someone, you must be born again. Now that's a good place to start. But unless we can get people starting to think about what they believe and why they believe it, we can't be too effective in bringing them to see that they need a Savior. The new birth. Now, some people are taught, they haven't been taught well enough, but some people are taught that actually when you were sprinkled as a baby or immersed later, you were born again. But that's not what the Bible says. You're born again, you become a new person. You feel different. You think differently. And you'll make decisions differently. I think it's Psalm 66 says, come and let me tell you what the Lord has done in me. And that is a testimony that we're not bragging, we're simply telling what's happened to us. there is so much we need to learn on how to be effective in reaching others for Christ. This little book, and I have a few of them out there if anybody gets interested. And incidentally, this has been effective where you can get somebody interested in reading it. A number of Catholic people have come to know Christ through, because I do it so nicely. Now, a lot of people that read it don't think I'm doing it nicely, and I get nasty letters from some. But I also hear from some that come to Christ. We have so much to do. The title of the book, Something Was Missing, and the subtitle is, Until God, Through Faith, Gave Joy and Peace and Full Assurance of Salvation. And we have to come to see each of these essentials that need to be covered, or we may see decisions made but no real conversions. And that's why we live in a country where, what is it, 80% of the people say that they're Christians? Starting with the president and a whole lot of other people. He'd probably go up to Congress and find that most of the people there who aren't Jewish or something would tell you they're Christians. And people in most of these other churches around us would say, well, I'm a Christian. My father and my grandmother were, so forth. And that takes care of me. We have a tremendous job to do. We have tremendous opportunities. The people who, what was this figure the Catholics developed? 1/3 of all the people who grow up in churches end up leaving their faith. In some cases, it's because somebody won them to Christ. In other cases, in most other cases probably, they just came to the place of saying, well, something was missing. I didn't get anything there. And we have a message that enables people to get a new life and forgiveness of sins and a new birth. That's a challenge for you. I'll just close, maybe. I look to the Apostle Paul as a guide for my preaching. And in Philippians 3, he says, now, in closing, and then he went on for 2 more chapters. There's a lot to do. And we need to think through, first of all, am I doing it? We can just drift along, well, I'm in a good church and I would like to invite people, maybe, but how many of us have ever really won somebody to Christ and seen somebody really become a disciple so you could disciple them and see them truly become a new Christian? That's a challenge. That's the encouragement for each one of you. And I would hope you'd think about that. and go to work as a disciple for the Lord. Father, we thank you for yourself, for the Lord Jesus, for this time together. Lord, I thank you for this church, Brother Dan, the years we've known each other. Lord, I pray you'll bless this church and these folks here. In Jesus' name, amen.